Thank you very much. I could have used one more verse, David. Yeah. Someone asked me one time, they said, when do you prepare for your lessons? And I said, well, I generally do that during the song right before the sermon. But that's not really true. Anyone who's ever preached the gospel or has ever really spoken in public knows that you have to make preparation in order to do that. And if you don't make preparation, then it becomes very obvious. You know, all of us at times have been guilty of debating with God. Now, you may not call it that, but you've tried to bargain with God. God, if you do this, I'll do that. Or, Lord, I promise you that if you will just answer my prayer and grant my request, then I will always be faithful unto you. Debating with God. Do you know in the Old Testament there is a character, as a matter of fact, he's more than a character, he was a minor prophet of God by the name of Habakkuk. Now, you don't read a whole lot about Habakkuk. As a matter of fact, we don't know very much at all about him. All that we know is that he prophesied during the years 620 to 604 B.C. He was a contemporary with Jeremiah, one of the major prophets, and he lived in Judah. This man wrote the book of Habakkuk. And that little book is nestled between the book of Nahum in the Old Testament and the book of Zephaniah. He's one of those characters you don't really perhaps desire to read much about. Very few people probably go back and thumb through the Old Testament. But I'm going to tell you something. There are great lessons in the Old Testament to be learned even for our age. You know, many of the prophets in the Old Testament would actually arise and at the call of Almighty God, when the wickedness of the rulers of their day were so tyrannical and they really were violent, they were criminals themselves. And so God called upon this man by the name of Habakkuk, and he wrote this little book, and it's only three chapters in that book. It is said that Martin Luther, the man who started what we call the Reformation, not the Restoration, but the Reformation movement back in the 1500s, was so inspired by this little book, this prophet, this minor prophet named Habakkuk, that he led many away from Catholicism. But all of us, just like Habakkuk, have been guilty of trying to debate with God, and that's what I really want to talk about tonight. This prophet of God, this Habakkuk, was actually a man who tried to cut a deal with God. He tried to bargain with him about a number of things. Now, keep in mind that this prophet was living down in Judah. Assyria had seized Israel and had taken them captive, and the prophet was worried and upset about what was going on. But God finally answers his prayer. God did not do, however, what Habakkuk had requested and wanted him to do. God says that I'm going to raise up another nation, that is Babylon. And by the way, if you're reading that, in the book of Habakkuk, they're called the Chaldeans. But he says, I'm going to raise up Babylon, and they will invade my people or your people, and they will rule over them. Now, notice what Habakkuk says. Habakkuk goes to God, and here again is where he starts trying to deal with him and debate with him about it. And he says, God, if you're reading from the NIV, he says, God, you are the one who claims to be just and holy, and you always do what is right. How can you do this? They are much, much worse than we are, and they are a lot more evil than we are. And God says, I'm going to tell you how to stand when you don't understand. You know, isn't that a lesson that all of us need today? When we don't understand, we need God to tell us how to stand. And when it appears that all is lost in the end, God is the winner. Now, I want to share with you three things tonight about this debate that goes on here with Habakkuk and with God. God says unto Habakkuk, first of all, to wait on me, wait on God, because I will keep my word. I've learned in life that when you pray unto God, you will eventually have an answer to your prayer. Now, as I've said many, many times, God doesn't always answer it in the positive. And by the way, In this particular setting, in this book of Habakkuk, where he is trying to debate with God, God does not answer his prayer in the affirmative. There is only one thing worse than hearing from God, and that is hearing from God and it not being the answer that you wanted or the answer that you did not like. In verse 1 of chapter 2, we find that Habakkuk is told to get up, that he is the watchman here also, to get to the watchtower. They, back then at the watchtower, were actually what we would call today homeland security. And they would always watch, and they would be very careful to make sure that no one was invading the city or their land. But you know what? God says to Habakkuk, get up. Get up and go up. And sometimes, instead of resting where we are, God says to get up. Most of us don't like to wait. We don't. Habakkuk didn't want to wait. He didn't. And God says, I want you to wait on me. Most of us in this audience tonight, I can tell you, do not like to wait. Most of you know that I don't like to wait. I am not what you call AD. I am AAADDD. I like to get it done before the day is over. Now, I know you didn't know that. I just thought I'd confess that to you tonight. People back then, back during the days of Habakkuk, used to measure time by day and night. But we have invented clocks. And by the way, back then, they didn't worry about how long the sermon was. If it went into night, they knew it was a little bit too long. But what we have done is that we have invented clocks and timepieces, and we measure time today not only in seconds and in minutes, but in microseconds. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, and verse 3, God says unto Habakkuk that my word is your light for dark days. You know, that's something all of us have to remember when we're going through a darkened experience, that God is still that light. You know, even when it's cloudy outside, did you know that the sun is still shining above? It is, or the moon, in our situation here tonight. Our problem, though, is that we don't like to wait on anything. And God says to wait on me. Just wait on me. The Bible in the book of Isaiah 40 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. And they will not faint if we just wait on God. You know, sometimes our life, as Christians, we are blind to what is going on, and we just have to wait on God. There was a television program several years ago that preceded the 1988 Winter Olympics, and I thought this was very interesting. It featured blind skiers, and I get the picture, if you will, being trained for skiing. Now, that almost sounds impossible, but it's true. They paired with sighted skiers, and the blind skiers were taught on the flats how to make the right and the left turns. And when that was mastered, they were taken to that particular slope where their sighted partners skied right beside them, shouting out, left or right. And as they obeyed the commands, they were able to negotiate the course and cross the finish line, depending solely upon the sighted skier's word. If there was ever something that seemed impossible to us, it would be this. It would either be a complete catastrophe, or it would be beyond what we could ever, ever imagine. Do you know you and I are on the slippery slopes of life? I'm telling you, it is the honest truth. Every day, we don't know what a day may bring forth. And we just have to wait on God. Wait on God. Like I said, God doesn't always give us the answer that we want. And generally, when God doesn't give us the answer that we want, something is better on the horizon. Now, there's another thing. And so what happens here is that Habakkuk is debating with God. And God is saying unto him, just wait, just hold on. Now, he's saying something else to him. He's saying, watch for God. He will bring justice. He's afraid that the Assyrians here, or that the Babylonians or the Chaldeans are going to take over, and he doesn't want that. He wants God to clean up the place. He wants it to be better because of all that wickedness that is so profound in where he is. And God says, I will do a lot of things in this life that people do not understand. There is a passage found in the second chapter. And by the way, the Bible says that this book of Habakkuk is divided in three different segments, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Faith, the burden, and the prayer. But here in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, this prophet says, the just shall live by faith. And if you were to read the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, you would find out that particular passage is quoted three times. Three additional times from this minor prophet of God. But it is so true that the righteous will live by faith. You know, that's the only answer that we really need when we try to find God, isn't it? There are so many things that we don't understand and so many ways that God really works in our life behind the scenes that we may not know about. I read about a man by the name of John Patton. Actually, he was a missionary in Africa. And one night, there were some hostile Indians that surrounded his mission station where he was preaching. And they were intent on burning out the Patton family and actually killing them. And Patton and his wife prayed. They saw what was going on, and they prayed during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. It looked as though they were going to meet swift death. But when daylight came, they were amazed to see that the attackers and the Indians had left. A year later, the chief of that tribe, it is told, was converted to Christ and became a Christian. And remembering what happened, Patton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down their house and killing this man, this missionary, his wife, and their children. And the chief replied in surprise, well, who were all those men that were there with you? Patton knew no men were there present with them, but the chief said that he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling his home. Now, I can't explain that, but I do believe that we do have guardian angels, and I do believe that God is watching over us. I do believe that. God is saying that unto this prophet. You approach God by faith. You wait, but you watch. You watch. Sometimes we find ourselves in such dilemmas that we don't know exactly where to turn or what to do. And some of them are somewhat humorous when you look back on them. I was reading about actress Carol Burnett. How many of you remember Carol Burnett? You remember Carol Burnett? Anyway, she got out of a cab one day up in New York and caught her coat in the door. And the driver was unaware of her plight, and so he started slowly moving along with the traffic. And to keep from being pulled off of her feet, this comedian started running alongside the cab down the block. But a passerby noticed her predicament and quickly alerted the driver. And so he stopped, and she jumped out and released Carol Burnett's coat. And he looked at her, and he said, are you all right? And she said, yes, but how much more do I owe you? You know, we owe a lot to a lot of folks, but we owe more to God. And we just have to wait on God. Wait on Him and watch for God. But then thirdly, God says another message, or gives another message unto this great prophet when all of this is going on, and he's trying to debate with God about the situation. God, the answer you gave is not what I want. And God says, well, just wait, just watch, and worship God. For He is in control. Do you know that God is always in control? If you read Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, and David, by the way, there's a song in our songbook that was written and inspired by this particular passage a number of years ago. It's called, "The Lord is in His Holy Temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." Can you imagine when Habakkuk is trying to debate with God about all these things that are going on, and he just, God turns to him and says, "Habakkuk, the Lord's in His holy temple." He said the Chaldeans or even the Assyrians might destroy the temple at Jerusalem, but they can't destroy the holy temple. They can't do it because the Lord is on His throne, and He is. And you know what? God always sees to it that every puzzle piece falls into place. Now, I'm not much on puzzles. Audrey loves puzzles. I guess I have too many of them all day long, but she loves to put puzzles together. When I put puzzles together, hey, I make those pieces fit. I mean, if I have to take scissors and cut around to where that dude fits in there, that's what I do. But God always makes the puzzle pieces fit together. And He is in His holy temple, and we can trust Him. We can always trust Him. Someone said, when you have nothing left but God, then you become aware that God is enough. Babylon, as I said, could destroy Jerusalem temple, but not the holy temple of God. You see, God says to this prophet, He says, "I want you to know something." He said, "My hand is on the throttle of this aircraft. I know exactly where I'm taking it. I know exactly where it's going to land. I know exactly what I am trying to accomplish and what I am going to do." And there is one thing that God told Habakkuk, and it is this. It is one thing that never changes, and that is that God is always in control. You know, when it appears sometimes that other people are in control and ruling your life, remember, it's God. God's in control. He could stay the hand, and has, of people all day long. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea." Worship God. You know, sometimes it's tough for us to worship God when we have problems going on in our life. But that's the very thing we ought to do, because it brings things into clear view for us. It does. Instead of moaning sometimes, "Why me?" or groaning, "I don't like what's happening." Trust God. God has a bigger picture. We're looking at the immediate. God has a bigger picture, and sometimes there are just some things we don't understand. I think about the disciples. You know, when Jesus was crucified, they were so disillusioned. They had been with Him for 3 years, and they heard Jesus talking about His death, but it wasn't something that they really related to. I mean, they were thinking, hey, this man is not only is he a rabbi, but he is the Messiah. He is the one that is promised by people like Habakkuk and Jeremiah and Micah and Zephaniah and Nahum and Isaiah and others in the Old Testament. And He is coming to the world. This man's not going to die. We're going to ensure that. And Peter even said, "Lord, we will not let you die. We will go into Jerusalem and we'll make sure it doesn't happen." And Jesus said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Peter. For it was to this intent that I came into the world." And when his death did occur, it was such a disillusioning moment for them. But you know what they did? They didn't scatter. They didn't give up. They went to the tomb on Sunday morning and were awakened to a reality that they could never, ever possibly imagine. And that was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So instead of us debating with God about our life, it would be best for us to wait on God to make the next move and watch for God to do it, and worship while we wait. Worship while we wait. And that's a tough thing, I understand, for all of us to do. But I also learned through all of that that God does not make deals. You cannot bargain with God. His will be accomplished. And may God help us to resolve to accept it. And whatever God lays upon us, may He give us the strength to bear it. And by the way, He did give Habakkuk and his people the ability to bear it. And God resurrected Israel. They became a great nation. And they still are. So hold on to what I've shared with you tonight. If what Habakkuk learned is true, it's true for us too. So whatever we may be going through, hold on to God. As I said, when you feel that He's all you've got, hey, He's all you need. It's true. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, as we said earlier on this morning, it's very simple and easy to act upon your faith. And the Bible says here that the just shall live by faith, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And it is true tonight that we will live by faith. We must act upon our faith, however, and come to Christ out of a desire to serve Him. Quit debating with God about why I need to do this and start accepting it and follow His path, and He will lead us. Trust in God with all your understanding, and He'll lead you. He'll guide you. And if you're here tonight as a Christian, you need strength and you need the prayers of the body here, let us pray for you while we stand and while we sing.